This is Steve Sherlock with another in the series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is number 107. This is a recording of the town council meeting on January 7th. This is the segment that covers the change to the Pond Street zoning bylaw discussion. It runs approximately an hour and 20 minutes. So settle in, get a good set of headphones or whatever you're going to listen with, and enjoy. We'll be jumping right into the intro by Council Chairman Bob Valley. Note that at the end of this, after the last speaker chastises the council for their behavior, you can just make out behind the audience applause, the chair closes the meeting, and then moves on to the next item.
We have a 7:10 hearing. I'll declare the hearing open for a zoning bylaw amendment 15-745, amendment to Chapter 185, Attachment 7, Part 6, Use Regulation Schedule, Residential Uses and Office District. Would you read the zoning bylaw?
Bylaw amendment 14-745, changes to Subsection 185, Attachment 7, Part 6, Use Regulation Schedule, Residential Uses. Chapter 185 of the Code of the Town of Franklin be amended in Attachment 7, Part 6, Use Regulation Schedule, Residential Uses, to allow by special permit as authorized by the Franklin Planning Board in the office zoning district, multifamily or apartment uses on a minimum of 5 acres. No more than one dwelling unit for 2,000 square foot of lot area will be permitted. The foregoing zoning bylaw amendment shall take effect in accordance with the Franklin Home Rule Charter and Massachusetts General Laws, Chapter 48, Section 5. The full text of the proposed zoning bylaw amendment may be reviewed by the Department of Planning and Community Development during normal business hours, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 to 4 p.m., Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 6 p.m., and Friday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Please contact the Department of Planning and Community Development at 508-520-4907 if you require further information or if you need to make arrangements to provide translation services for the hearing impaired or for purposes of language barriers.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the record, this same public hearing was held at the Planning Board on Monday, and they did recommend to the Council to approve that, so I wanted folks to know. By way of background, the proposed zoning change would add a single use of an existing zone to have the Council consider whether they wanted to add housing, multifamily housing, to the land that the town owns on Pond Street. This is currently a single zoning district that incorporates a few buildings here, and the rest of it is town-owned property. Right now, hotels, offices, all kinds of things are allowed on the site. We've been unsuccessful in marketing that just as a business area. And so the thought was to expand the potential of having mixed use and allowing condominium development on the site as part of an overall development plan. It's 33 acres. There are about just under 20 that are actually developable. The rest of it is wetlands. Doesn't show on this map. So if this zoning bylaw was ultimately adopted, the council could then choose to issue another RFP. It would be our third one on the site, and include, if you wished, in that RFP a portion of it or all of it for multifamily housing. In this case, certainly recommend only condominiums at that location. People ask, why do we want to develop it? Quite frankly, we need the money. We get income for the sale of property, which has to be reserved for a capital improvement, but certainly we get ongoing tax revenues in a world where we don't have a lot of options how to raise taxes other than your property taxes. So the intent would be to change the zoning and then do a request for a proposal. Don't know if we get any bids or we get 10 bids, but it at least gives the option. Ultimately, it would come back to the council for consideration if there was a successful bidder as to if it was in the best interest of the community and fit into overall development of the neighborhood. From that, it would have to go to the Planning Board, the Conservation Commission, through the normal regulatory processes in order to be permitted and ultimately then sold to a successful bidder. So this just provides a housing option on an option on a piece of property that can already be built with, you know, if you want to put 200,000 square feet of office building and 2,000 cars a day down there, a hotel, restaurants, etc., that's already allowed. this is actually a less of an intense use than it's allowed, so it might fit in better in the overall plan. So that's an overview. Happy to answer any questions as it is a public hearing.
This being a hearing, I'll go to the audience. Is there one of the audience that would like to make any comments on this zoning bylaw?
Yeah.
Sir?
I mean, you know, traffic down...
Go to the microphone to identify yourself.
Sure. My name is Paul Sager. I live on Pond Street. And as it is now, you know, there's a tremendous amount of traffic on Pond Street, but it's never there. I've been living here in town for 30 years. And, you know, it's a big wetland. If you were to put a hotel or something there, you know, you might have 150 people come for the night. They're going to drive their car, and they're going to go maybe a tenth of a mile up Pond Street. If you have 200 families with two cars, and you have to provide schools, you have to provide a tremendous, there's going to be a tremendous increase in the traffic going down Pond Street, heading towards Water Road, and up towards the high school and Oak Street and whatnot. There's already traffic issues. I mean, where I live, every single night of the week, there's, you know, the police pull people over for speeding up and down the street. The street's really busy as it is. It was never like that before the development down the end of the street, which they said, oh, this is the only thing that's going to happen down here anyways. The rest is all industrial, you know. And, you know, if you put a hotel, like I say, if you put a hotel there, you know, you might have 100 people a night staying there. And they're not going to go up and down Pond Street. You know, the corner down at the end of the lights where Tri-County is a mess. I mean, you know, people making U-turns there. I don't know how many accidents they have there, but I know, I can tell you there's a lot of them, because at least once a week I get down there and see some car crash from some guy trying to pull a U-turn, all lost, looking for this or that, you know, going around in circles. And the traffic's really bad already. You go putting, you know, 200 families, I don't know, 200 apartment units is a lot of units. And you're going to provide schools and everything else for all those kids as well.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, first of all, we would hope to, you know, our last proposal did include a hotel because for the very reason you said, it's de minimis traffic and a great deal of tax income to the town. But if we were to do this mixed use, we would still hope to attract a hotel, maybe a small office, and maybe 50 condos. I can't speak for the council, but I don't believe there's a majority that would be in favor of apartments. So from a practical perspective, you know, 25, 50 condominiums are...
I mean, if they're willing to limit the number...
Well, I mean, that's a discussion that, I mean, yeah. The council would be, before we issue an RFP, they have to decide all those things.
Right, so once you open it up to be in a residential site, then who knows what we're going to get?
Well,
we don't have any guarantee.
Well, you would have a guarantee to the extent that once this passes, the council then has to make a decision on that very question, because if we're going to issue an RFP, they can say, you're right, put as many as you want there, or they might say, hey, only put 25, 50, or whatever the number is, but that's up to the council to make that decision. So practically, you can't put 200 there,
right.
But you could put 50 or 100.
I mean, sure, you know, environmental effects that you can see in the neighborhood, too. You know, if they go building out all of that stuff there out to Walker Road, there's a huge forest there that breaks up all the noise.
Well,
coming off the highway.
They can't really build up because there's a drainage ditch that goes kind of like this. So everything north of here is not going to get built on. Most of it has to get built kind of almost along Pond Street, maybe from here to here, and then this is all wetlands down by the highway.
Right.
So
and then
there
how
is
many more entrances onto Pond Street.
Well, you'd have to have one that's already existing, and at least an emergency exit that the police and fire could access, but not a public use.
But
access.
we don't get any guarantees about any of that stuff, right?
That not at the stage of zoning.
Right.
The discussion of what would be in the RFP would be a public meeting, you know, a month from now, for example. But at tonight's meeting, there's no guarantee unless people want to speak to it. It'd be easier to leave the business.
Any other citizens would like to make any comments? So come on up from the mic. Identify yourself. Yeah.
Hi, my name's Troy. So I was just wondering how exactly close you'd be building to that drainage ditch, because I live on the other side of it. So So say you were to put that emergency exit in, how close would you be putting it to that? Like, is there going to be any buffer of trees? Like, I don't really want, like, a million people looking in my house, per se.
Look, just briefly tell him, Jeff.
I
it's just a rezoning right now.
Yeah, this is a rezoning, so I can't tell you that, you know, if the main entrance here and the emergency exit's 100 feet, 200 feet, because we haven't seen any proposal, nor have we drafted one yet.
Okay.
So I can't really give you an answer on that because it hasn't put in, hasn't been put together yet.
And then why would you put a hotel there when there's one on the industrial park?
We
and
have
then there's
three,
one on the other side of town.
We have three hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And a hotel, in this case, de minimis travel, about 130, 40-room hotel, would bring in about $300,000 of income to the town and produce. There's no real peak traffic in a hotel. People don't show up at 7 a.m. and leave at 4 a.m. They trickle in and they trickle out. So from a traffic perspective, it's a great use. And it's a huge revenue income to the town. And most likely be sited down lower because they want exposure to the highway. So even if it was a two or three story, the topo of this is such that it drops down about 30 feet. So a good low density, high income use for the town. Doesn't mean anybody would submit a bid
to
that.
Yeah, I know.
So.
And then, like, have you guys thought about, like, park or something, like something more like for public use?
We've owned this land for 100 years. It was a sewer bed till 1978, and the council for the last decade has tried to market it for income, so it hasn't been considered given the location other than produce income for the town.
Okay, and then why there? Is it just because it's such a good...
Because we own 30 acres of land in a prime location.
Okay.
We have other lands, you know, off of Daniel Street or out, you know, that is conservation and open space and parkland throughout the community. We just think this is a good location because of this, where it is.
Right. And then what type of land value diminishing would be there if you start building all this facilities? Then wouldn't that diminish land value, or would that increase it? Like, what type of effect? Because not many people want to live something like that close to something. So then, for people who are older, when they come to sell their houses, they're going to run into their house not being worth as much.
Not necessarily so. I can't answer the question. Certainly, if there's condominiums across the street from houses,
well, that's going to help. But
that's not going to necessarily lower your property value. If there was a, you know, industrial building, mm-hmm. which that's not going to happen, obviously that might have a...
Okay. That's some question.
Any other citizens would like to address it? This you. Come on up, please.
Hi, I'm Glenn Tuohy. I live on Martello Road. I'm just curious for the council, what would be the determining factors that would... make you have your decision? If this was to pass tonight, how many homes or condominiums would you allow on the site? Is there any information that you have that would determine that?
There's no information yet. Just a rezoning thing. Everything else, once we rezone it, if we get input, then you know, you'll be welcome to discuss what might go there and whether for it or against it, that sort of thing.
But to
we're
Mr.
not
Nutting's
such a rezoning issue right now.
Yeah, to Mr. Nutting's point, though, it's the... He gave the impression that you guys will make the decision based on what is what I would like to know.
So once the rezoning takes place, then this would go back to the Economic Development Committee, where that's also a public meeting, and it would then get between members of the planning board, members of the council, members of the planning staff. We would then discuss it with the public on what the best RFP would be to put out to a potential developer, what would get the maximum value of the site. Why keeping the lowest amount of nuisance to any of the neighbors.
Right.
And we would look at all those factors.
And then it would come to the full council.
And then it would be sent from the Economic Development Committee to the full council for a vote, of which you get the opportunity to hear.
But is there a maximum that you would consider?
A maximum of housing?
Units that you would allow on
the site? Would be all determined at the EDC level. This is just a zoning hearing, so it would have to be gone back.
But you don't have an idea right now, though.
I think we'd have to see.
500, 1,000? I mean, there's got to be a limit that you wouldn't consider
each
realistic.
Each council would have to talk on, would have their own opinion. I mean, would you like my opinion?
Yeah.
What Mr. Nutting was saying, you know, to line the streetscape, you know, with about no more than 50 would be what my preference would be. So.
And I was just trying to get an idea of.
I mean, I would have to see all that. And you'd have to see from an engineer how it's laid up. So it might only fit 10.
Well, yeah, if it was Tokyo, or Japan, they could put 10,000 units there. So, I mean, that's my concern is that right now you're saying it's wide open, and maybe a lot of people wouldn't be opposed to that because they might think 50 units, that's not bad. But if you guys decide, well, 500 would be nice, I don't think anybody around here would like that.
Keep in mind, 500 increases school population.
Right. Well, that's
increases
what I mean.
A lot of things.
There's a lot
of
impacts.
Hotel doesn't increase hotel. It doesn't increase anything, and gives us a hotel tax.
Right.
So that, you know, when we look at things for the town, we look at what's the best revenue generator.
If we cut out 5 acres for a hotel and 5 acres out for an office, and now we're down to 8 acres,
yeah.
And then there's driveways, setbacks, wetlands. Not you can't practically do that huge development. So I think, you know, we still would like to keep a hotel in the mix here, and maybe an office building, you know, somewhere on the site, and then, you know, if there was 10, 20, 30, there's just, A, you can't fit that many condos, and B, you wouldn't give up space for a hotel, which is a cash cow, compared to anything else that we have.
It would be an impact on center services. So you guys do kind of have an idea in mind. I think that I just get a little nervous about something that's so wide open. Well, it all depends, and that scares the hell out of me. That's just my personal opinion.
Andy?
I understand the gentleman's concern, and I think what we need to clarify is this has already gone out as an RFP, well, a few times, actually. The last time it came back, it did not meet all our parameters, but I think it did meet a lot of our parameters, and I think the residential component will attract a better package in general for the town of Franklin. With that said, after the RFP comes back with the residential component, it then becomes, yes, we have to vote on it, but it then becomes a function of the planning board and site plan review and all those other parameters. Now, you're right, they could propose a number of residential units if the residential component gets put into the RFP. They can send back something with the hotel that we liked and the medical office building that we liked, and then only then will we know how many residential units they're going to propose, hopefully in condo form, because I think that's what we're leaning towards. I hope I answered your question.
No, you did. Thank you.
It's a good question you ask, actually, because there's a number of us that are on the EDC, the Economic Development Committee, and what we want to do is balance the highest and best use of the property from a revenue standpoint of the town with obviously what the impact's going to be to the community. So it's important to hear those things, because we don't know the exact numbers, but it needs to be something that's going to be consistent with the area as well. So
I mean, please keep in mind, I'm not opposed to development, and I understand it. I would just like to minimize the impact of the area, and as the other gentleman had said, the real estate values, and what would be the impact to the area houses that are directly impacted.
Okay, back there to the audience. Anyone else would like to address this issue? Come on up, please.
Hi, my name is Gail Ward, and I live on Hilltop Road. Do any of you live on Pond Street?
I lived on Pond Street.
Oh, you don't now. You wouldn't be direct. Okay. Anybody immediately off of Pond Street, like Walker or... No, I'm talking about any of them who are going to make this decision for us. No. Oh, that's strange. Our problem is we don't oppose doing something with the land. We know that it's valuable. But we don't want it to change. Those of us who, like, I think you said your name was Paul,
okay.
And, like, we don't want things to change to the point where to get out of our driveways and to school to pick up a child, we have to wait in traffic for 20 minutes. We don't want to be hearing sirens and everything else because of all the car accidents that are happening when you add that much traffic. I think there are ways to handle this. Make it so that it's valuable to us without turning it into a residential type of area. My question is, why do we need more money? Because we did just raise taxes. So if you could just answer that, and I appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As the person that puts the annual budget together every year, I can tell you that
like most communities in the Commonwealth, we can increase your property taxes every year, but beyond that, we don't get a lot of revenue. So one of the things that the council for decades has tried to do is shift the burden to commercial industrial by adding more commercial and industrial property to the town. Businesses typically don't add children to the tax base where single family homes do. With costs going up like all your households, we have those fixed costs that go up, health insurance, pensions, wages, salt, et cetera, et cetera. And so the demands are much higher than our ability to keep up. And Franklin's not a community that likes to pay or vote yes on overrides. They're one for nine. So the council has tried to rezone land over the decades and attract businesses. The thing about condominiums for us is, at least to date, where a single-family home pays about $5,700 in taxes, they typically put one, two, three kids in the school system. Of the 1,200 condos we had, this goes back about 5 years, there were 100 kids. We have like a 10% ratio. So condominiums actually pay more money than they cost us, purely business perspective. The proposal we had in 07 had 24 condos, a couple hundred thousand square feet of office, a hotel, and a restaurant. It had like 2,000 cars a day. What we're trying to do is come up with a plan that doesn't have that kind of impact because it's less dense. So, you know, if you got a hotel and 50,000 square feet of office space and 30 condominiums, it uses the space, it softens the blow, but it produces income. And we will continue beyond this to look at other areas. I can't speak for the council, but, you know, for the last 20 years, how are we going to keep up with the bills unless we get bigger and better taxpayers other than residents?
Does someone else come on up, please?
My name is Gail Irwin. I live on Hilltop Road. I'd like to actually address my comments to the committee here. We appoint you or elect you as representatives, and I feel from what I've heard that the due diligence has been somewhat lacking on this proposal. I live on Hilltop Road. I didn't get a letter notifying me of this change. I heard about it from my neighbors. I feel that a greater band of communication should be done to all people that live on Pond, off of Pond, that could be impacted. I also feel we have some construction going on today where there's Starbucks and the Noodle Company. We don't understand the traffic flow of there yet, what the impact is going to be to that intersection, which already today when you're getting out at 7 or you're trying to get home at 5:30 is very, very difficult. Not to mention you have students, especially middle school students, standing on Pond Street waiting for school bus, and what is the impact to those kids that are on now a much busier road. I think that we don't know the impact to the schools. We don't understand the how many residents are going to be limited. That's up to the proposal. So we don't understand all the downstream implications of this request. And I think as our elected officials, it's your chance to represent us, and we're asking you to do more due diligence, have broader communication of this proposed zoning change, and make sure that all of the residents are informed and understand what is happening and what may happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Is someone left side? Does someone want to press on that side? Come on, please.
My name is Peg Helgard. I live on the Norfolk line, and as far from Pond Street as you can get. But I'm part of the community, and that's why I'm speaking. Because I think it is communication. My question is, what is the data around how much hotel space we need? Secondly, not only is it may not impact our schools, but how does it impact our police and our fire? Because it's not a vacuum. If there is incidents at the hotel spaces, who has to respond to it? It's the Franklin Police. And I have sympathy for the people on Pond Street. Because when you affect one part of the town, as you will try to affect the downtown area later, you affect all of us as a citizens of a community. And if we really want to be a community in Franklin, We have to be together as whole. So if it affects you on Pond Street, it affects us on the other side of town, and I'm with you.
Thank you. Tony Rolling Ridge Road.
Did you identify yourself, please, Bruce?
Excuse me?
Identify yourself where you live?
I did, Charles McCauley. My big question is, part of that is the old sewer beds. I've been living there long enough to smell it before. How much is that going to impact the construction of that over there?
Yeah. Well, most of the sewer bed, the tanks actually sit way down here. They would have to be removed. We've had an environmental study done on the land. Beyond removing that, there's no hazardous material on the site, according to our environmental study. So shouldn't have any effect, because the developer, if it was successful, would be removing those.
They'd have to clear that all up.
That's correct.
The next thing is, you're going to clear all those trees out. They block all the sound, or most of the sound, from the highway. Mm-hmm. We can hear that pretty good from where we are. Now, if you take away down all those trees, which it's a thick pine grove, we're going to hear it much louder up there.
One of the decisions the council has to make in the RFP process is, as you know, we already have a setback requirement of 35 feet. Whether they make the setback 35 feet, we own this land, so they control what gets put out to bid. And so they can say, for instance, we're going to leave 50 feet along Pond Street. They can say 35. They can say 100. I think people are here. All the zoning change is about housing. The council has the right and has had the right to go out and put this out to bid and already put 3 hotels and 4 offices there tomorrow if they want, because that right's been in place. This change is really a less dense use and probably better for the neighbors than 2,000 cars a day going into an office park. So, you know, all those considerations, the land along pockets, Walker Street is not going to get impacted for a couple hundred feet. You know, whether it's 35 or 50 feet setback, that all gets decided before we put an RFP out. Not going to do the RFP until the zoning change is decided, yay or nay. But I think people think somehow this is going to be worse than is currently allowed by right. So this is trying to soften the blow, actually. The potential development.
I don't think it's softening the blow.
Well, would you rather have...
Not by the amount of people that are here.
Well, except that, again, the council went out to bid. We had a person that was willing to pay $4 million for this land, and a restaurant, a hotel, 24 condos, and 200,000 square feet of office. Now, that kind of fell apart. But that was 7 years ago. And then the economy came, and we said, well, it's not going to do anything in a bad economy. So you have to think, if your concern is noise and traffic, don't you want the use that has the least noise and traffic? Because one way or the other, it needs to get developed. But it needs to be developed in a way that, as Councilor Kelly said, it meets the needs of the financial needs of the town and the neighborhood. And that hasn't been defined yet because the zoning hasn't been changed.
So we just put up a brand new high school.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to put in condos or apartment buildings, we're going to be needing more grade school.
Well, first of all, I don't know. I can't speak for the council, but I don't think anybody would support apartments in this location. Apartments are a huge economic loss for the town of Franklin. Condominiums are an economic gain for the town of Franklin. But, you know, if we have 50 condos, there might be 10 kids. Well, if you look at the statistics of the other 1,200 condominiums we have. So there's not a lot of, typically in Franklin, there's not a lot of kids in condominiums that are school age. Whereas single family homes and apartments, there are.
I'm not forward on that.
Peter.
The woman that spoke a few people ago, just so she knows, if you want to see what our due diligence looks like, the EDC meetings are open to the public, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and we sit at these meetings. I voted in favor of this, but what would be nice to give us some direction is to come to our EDC meeting, listen to all the vetting that gets done. When the town administrator mentions numbers, one thing you'll never catch him doing is missing something on a number. He's done the stats. He's got the data. So it would be helpful for us, as we compose our request for proposals, the RFP, then we need to put the parameters in that make sense to us as to what's the best for the town in connection with that property.
Right.
So we're very sensitive to that. So please come and you'll see what we're doing.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Brett?
Sure, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I mean, as town administrator said, this is the first step. I think this is great. We have this many people. I know not everyone's here for this particular issue, but most of our meetings are seats are empty. So I think we all appreciate the input from the town. That's what we're here for. I'm sure our communication can always be better to let people know about what's going on. That's something we always strive for. But I don't think anyone here wants to become Westboro. We're not looking to develop every square inch of land. You know, we're trying to be strategic about it and make the best use. So I just encourage everyone to stay engaged, and we definitely want the input as each step goes on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Glenn Jones, 172 School Street. I would like to request, if possible, Jeff, to discuss what other zones are currently available on Pond Street. This is a proposal to add residential zoning to this lot, but can we let the public know what it is currently zoned for? For instance, the biotech overlays and all the other overlays that this property has on it?
Yeah, no, it's already zoned for office, which allows lots of use. It's biotech ready, so a biotech company can go in there tomorrow.
If you put it on the proposal.
Well, right, but the town did nothing. You're correct. Nothing will get built there. I think this council and lots of other previous councils had thought that this land should get developed. All those things could take place. If ultimately the council says we don't want to sell the land, that's a council decision. There's no cost to investigate it. There's no cost to put an RFP out. There's no cost to get proposals back and having those considered and vetted in a public forum to see how those two things merge. This is ready for development currently.
Is someone in the audience? Yes, sir. Come on up.
John Pazino, because I'm at Hilltop. Councilman Tadullo, speaking to your response to Ms. Irwin, I will point out that our neighborhood, what few people received the notice of this meeting in our neighborhood, we got them 3 days before the EDC meeting in mid-December. There were very few people who actually had the opportunity to rearrange their schedule. I was fortunately one of them, so that we could actually appear at the EDC meeting to give the feedback that you just asked for. So that's the first thing I want to say. Secondly, my major concern here with a wide open RFP that doesn't have any limitations whatsoever in terms of the residential or in terms of the number of units is, as you mentioned, Mr. Padula, at the EDC meeting, you mentioned that the town is in debt, that it has a very large amount of liability right now.
Significant debt,
yeah.
Sure.
And I understand that. And I understand that that's your job right now. My concern is that when we start getting in RFPs with dollar numbers at the bottom of it, I'm concerned that the concerns of the community, the concerns of the neighborhood, are not going to be taken into account when you see that number and what it can do for our liabilities. That's my primary concern.
Go ahead.
So in one of the other things I said at the meeting, too, was we're not going to be held hostage. We don't have to sell this property. This gets us some good offers on the table. If it's something that doesn't fit, I'm not going to be in favor of it. Just like I made a motion at that meeting, you were there, and I took the motion off again.
Mm-hmm.
Adding another issue we're talking about that will be coming up next. So simply put, it's got to be a workable piece. So your input's going to be important. I think what needs to happen here is I personally wasn't responsible for getting the notice out to you, but I think that what we'll do is we'll make sure that the town administration...
Yeah, we didn't notice people on Pond Street, because we didn't even have a legal obligation, but we called it a moral obligation to go to the, all the abutters and make sure they all got it. We certainly can broaden that prior to the
And that's been a general observation in the neighborhood. I have to say, I'll be honest. One of my neighbors needed a zoning appeal for a zoning appeal hearing for an addition that he was going to make, and I swear I think we got more notices for him than we did for clear cutting 15 acres here.
That's because it's a that's a requirement of law.
Okay.
And they have to notice everybody within 300 feet under a zoning board. Under this, there is no requirement. But
this is a rezoning, though. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. Correct.
Okay.
How is it different?
Can I address that really quickly? The Department of Planning and Community Development did send
out... You can introduce yourself.
I'm sorry, Brian Sabroner, Director of Planning and Community Development. As far as noticing, there is no legal requirement on a zoning change. For instance, and I use as an example, if Residential 1 abutters and people that are zoned that, you'd have to send out 10,000 letters. So that's not a requirement. However, we did send... I believe it's 300 feet of your abutter of 300 feet of the properties that are being rezoned. So there were 63 letters sent out to 63 property owners, and that's what we did do. So if the council would like more in the future, then we can let us know.
Thank you. You finish your comments now?
The only other thing I wanted to say is that I don't want it to appear that the community is trying to completely stonewall this. We obviously need the revenue. I just want to make sure that we're kind of more involved in it than a lot of us are perceiving that we are, and that's all.
By law, you have to be involved.
Thank you.
Andy?
I just want to clarify his question. By no means is this RFP wide open. The RFP is following some pretty strict parameters. In fact, even this, what we're discussing tonight, is gauging the number of units based on 2,000 square feet per unit. So, but there are like three parameters in that RFP, what we are seeking, and then we send that out and we see if we get any response back. What this is doing is adding a carrot, let's say, to get some better responses back, because we haven't liked what's come back so far. So the residential component, I think, will draw a lot more exciting development down there, and it's still in keeping with the framework of the RFP we already have, which is calling out for... We like the hotels, we like the medical building, and we're trying to see what other component we can get in there to sort it all out. But it is not a wide open one, okay? It's very restricted, and the developer has to follow all the parameters of that RFP and its restrictions. Thank you.
Bob?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I mean, one of my biggest concerns is going to be the traffic coming out of there, because I do believe that the traffic is bad under there, but I think we should send it out for the RFP. I mean, I don't want apartments down there. You know, I don't want a lot of condos down there. But I think we should send it out for something. But I do believe that, you know, we should have workshops and everything like that for you guys to be more involved in, so that we do get your, you know, input on everything like that. You guys definitely do have to be more involved.
Yes, ma'am. One up, please.
It's tacky to follow my husband. But I'm Stephanie Pazniokas. I also live on Hilltop. And there were a few things that were mentioned here that I did want to address. And I'll try to be quick. John touched on a little bit of it. But one of my questions is, everybody's saying this has to do with the RFP. And he mentioned, you know, everybody's saying they don't want multifamily residences or apartments that are not condos because of the revenue impact. However, is there a reason that as the zoning change, that changing the zone itself can restrict it to condominiums so that we can feel comforted that we can be sure? I mean, I've known it's been done in other places where the zone has been restricted to a specific type of residence.
Mr. Chairman, a multifamily by Massachusetts law cannot be restricted to condominiums. However, since the town owns the land, we can restrict what gets put on there if we want to sell it. So if this was private property and we rezoned it and you had more than 5 acres, you could put apartments up.
Right.
No one wants that. So in the RFP, it will say condominiums, if that's what the decision of the council is. Again, we would not want to encourage apartments.
Yeah. And if, again, as we've changed, we're proposing to change the zoning, because while a lot has been thrown out that this is an office zoning and all kinds of horrible things could go in there, the bottom line is we haven't gotten any proposals that we could act on. Either they came in with residences while it wasn't zoned that, or they came in late and weren't able to. There were a number of other reasons besides just, oh, we don't like it, because even though it's going to bring in income, that those were not accepted. And we're not getting any bites for the office, so we're adding in the residential. Say we throw out an RFP that includes condominiums. We get no more bites for 5 or 6 years. Is it then going to be going out for a multifamily apartment residential RFP? I mean, the question is, when does it, you know, how desperate are we for the income for, you know, developing this land if someone just doesn't want to develop it? That doesn't necessarily need to be answered. That's just the line of thought here. The 35-foot mandatory setback, does that disallow clear-cutting the trees within 35 feet? Because I heard a couple of times that the condos could front Pond Street. Even if the condos themselves had to be 35 feet, those trees may not get cut down. And somebody had specifically addressed the trees, and the 35-foot setback was mentioned as part of that, but I don't think that that means those trees can't be cut down.
That's
so I didn't want anybody to think that one thing meant the other couldn't happen. I thought it was a little...
Make no mistake, the trees are going. Somebody buys that land, those trees are gone.
And also someone mentioned the sewers. And according, and I think, I'm not 100% positive, but the FUS report, I think, in 2010 mentioned this, that when those sewer tanks are removed, it could, even though no environmental impact has been seen in any of the studies now, when those are removed, it could actually expose a situation that may require environmental remediation or additional testing, which would be another risk that any developer that goes in there is going to be having to take. They're going to do their due diligence, I'm sure, and read all these documents. So even though somebody brought up the sewer and you mentioned that the environmental testing had been done, there is a chance that there could still be some other issues with that land. I think that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Come on up. Right there. Yeah. You had your hand up. Come on up.
Are you talking about me?
Oh, sorry.
Good to see you.
No, sir.
I got
it. Hi. Can you hear me? My name is Sandra Verhagen. I am also in the neighborhood directly affected by this. And I just wanted to reiterate what some of my neighbors said, that we are not here to stonewall. We don't necessarily, we understand that the town needs revenue, and we only want what is best for our town. And I would like to ask you to please, as much as the residents wants to see this town thrive, we're asking you to let us thrive as well as residents in this immediate community. I think there is a little bit of misunderstanding between the rezoning and the RFP. At the Economic Development Committee meeting, it was brought up that it was possible to restrict the rezoning, not the RFP, but the rezoning, to only include a certain number of residents, so that 5 years down the line, we don't necessarily have to put up with a developer who now owns the land wanting to put up additional units. I think that would, if it's something that the town council would consider doing, I think would be very beneficial to all of us. For many reasons, but it was mentioned today about traffic. In the Foss and O'Neill report that was submitted to the town of Franklin in 2010, traffic accidents had steadily gone up in the last 3 years, and that was in 2010. We're now going to be having a Starbucks, a noodle company, and more offices in that building. So how is traffic going to be impacted from there? At that last meeting, I specifically asked, wouldn't it be prudent to wait until we know what the traffic is going to be from this, to know what kind of rezoning we should think about, whether it's you're going to leave it wide open for 200 residences, even though this council may not want 200 residents. Again, what about 5 years down the line? I think that the response that was given to that was specifically from Mr. Halligan from the planning board, saying that if the zoning is in place, the developer and wants to build big facilities, then all we can do is widen the road. So it's comments like that that really make us scared. And although we can have your guarantee here tonight that you personally may not want 200 condos built there, you know, how are you going to protect us from future development in that land? I was actually speaking to a police officer not too long ago in November, who mentioned that in the town of Franklin, during the nighttime, there's only 3 police officers that are on duty during the night hours. Right? Is that included in adding the extra police officers? I did not see that included in the economic projections that were given to us at the EDC meeting. We're not unrealistic. We want what's best for Franklin. We live here. Our kids are growing up here. I want my kids to grow up here, go to high school here, and stay in the area. We're just asking you to please take into consideration not just rezoning tonight because it's the quick thing to do, but to really take into account what the rezoning will do to us in future years.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else like to make a comment, sir? Nobody?
I'm Jim Schultz. I live on 21 McIntosh Street. I actually hadn't intended on speaking on this issue, but I did think of something that is probably relevant. I have a son who attends Tri-County, and I would encourage each of you to take an opportunity in the morning during rush hour to go to Tri-County, 8 o'clock in the morning, and try to get out of the Tri-County lot and make a left like you're going towards 140. Just from a traffic impact on Pine Street, in any decision that you look to make, and consider that decision as it relates to the traffic increases to the area, because I certainly have to do that each morning that I drop my son off at school, and suddenly listening to all of this discussion, the thought of the traffic impacts that the Starbucks development plus a office park plus or office space in here as well as residential would potentially have on it. So I just felt it was worth mentioning. Thank you.
I'm Elaine Murphy. I live at 2 Walker Road. I am in a butter. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the non-abutters that are in this room tonight, because I don't know that there's any other abutters that are here other than the Pond Street, which is the street in between. There have been a lot of comments here tonight and good answers to the questions. I'm happy to meet the council in person because up till tonight, you were an unknown entity, a power that had final approval and could... You had the final vote. It didn't matter what we said. It really didn't matter if the planning board approved it or not on Monday night's meeting. You guys are going to call the shot. I almost didn't come tonight because I thought I had made my remarks on Monday night and it was a foregone conclusion. I still think it's a foregone conclusion, but it is America and we're all speaking, and the lady that came from Norfolk, I could give you a huge hug. Oh, the Norfolk line, I'm sorry. Okay. A mention was made about the horse and the carrot. The people that you see here that live in the neighborhood, the man who comes to Tri-County to drop off his son, and anybody else who's regularly going up and down Pond Street, we're the carrot. You guys aren't the carrot. Even you, dear lady from the Norfolk Line, you're not the carrot. We're the carrot that is going to feed the horse. That's number one. Somebody else mentioned that you had looked, the Economic Development Committee, I don't know if it was the council, but I know that the EDC, learning as I go, reports to you guys. Well, basically, you're in charge of the EDC. So, someone mentioned that it had been considered the balance between the impact to the current residents and the neighborhood and the environment against the financial benefit to the town. What kind of standards did you use to measure that percentage or that impact? That's one of my questions. Now, what I came here to say, and a lot of it might have been said before, so please forgive me if I repeat myself. We talked about the woods. My first question is it wise to diminish the buffer for noise and air pollutants from 495? Anybody who lives along a road near any major highway in Massachusetts has seen the sound barrier walls go up with concerned citizens, has seen the trees diminished, and has suffered allergies and possible other effects from the pollutants that come off of those cars that are traveling up and down the roads. Is it really wise, a wise decision for our town council to take away the benefit that we have from 30 acres? The wetlands. Is it wise to encroach upon any of our wetlands any more than necessary? Aren't there other areas in the town that are privately owned that could bring in the same kind of tax revenue? Why does Franklin, we're not going to get the tax revenue from us. We're looking for it for somebody who's privately owning the land. The revenue we're going to get that I see is the sale price. Other than that, anybody else who has land in Franklin could do with the same thing that the developer who buys this land is, they're going to pay taxes. You know, if we need a hotel and we need office space, there are other places privately owned that would be putting them up if it were economically feasible. So again, my question is timing on this. We have a sellable piece of land. That's what it keeps coming down to. We can make money. This is probably one of the few parcels of land that Franklin owns that we can make some good money on. Increased traffic. It seems, the lady who said that she had spoken at the EDC meeting, she's the one I'm quoting here, because she did raise the question, why are we in such a hurry to put this out before we really see the effect of Starbucks and Noodles? I mean, it would give us another piece of information. We'd have more due diligence. Information is power. We're sitting here in this audience without a lot of information. The minutes from the EDC, because of our staff shortage, were not available to me when I went to look to see what kind of discussions the EDC had had when they were meeting to bring this forward. I mean, it would have been nice for all of us to see what they've already talked about, what they already know, what they've already considered and said, well, that's not good, well, but this. And we'd have had answers before we got here tonight. So the special permit that was approved by the board on Monday night appears to be advantageous for the town and businessmen, but not as advantageous to the local residents and the people who live in the area. So the advantage, again, I'd like to know how you weighed the financial advantage against the disadvantage for the people that are directly involved. Yeah, also at Monday's meeting, it was discussed that there is the potential for buildings on this property. It's already approved for buildings to be three stories high, based on the current zoning regulations. A proposal by a developer to increase the maximum height to five stories, and this could be made, could bring another appeal because it's open to appeal. So just like the first proposal came in and they suggested multifamily as part of the proposal, we'll buy the property if you agree to put multifamilies, allow that, this is what we'd like to build. A response to a bid that the council puts out could come in with a proposal, well, we want to put some apartments, four units. We want to go higher. We want to go five stories instead of the three. So special permits seem to be considered and approved based on who's asking for them. From what I've seen, and we've only had the one special permit, and that was Monday. So the bottom line is, it appears that the town's dancing to the tune of potential buyers at the expense of the taxpayers who already live here. And we moved into our neighborhood with the expectation that the zoning laws in effect would be pretty much in effect, and it would be a hardship. That was my expectation. It might not be legal, but that was my expectation. It would be a hardship that would change a zoning law in a residential area. And I understand that it's commercial, Jeff. I understand that we could have horrible things happening there. It's a risk. You're trusting the council not to let horrible things happen for us. I got to trust that they're not going to let horrible things happen for the rest of the town. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else? You've spoken already, sir. You spoke already. That lady back there?
I just have one quick question.
Okay, go ahead.
What about the wildlife?
That's sorry?
The wildlife? What's going to happen to the wildlife? Where is it going to go?
Yeah. In my yard.
Yeah.
Deer and geese already there.
Where it might go, I don't know.
Wherever it goes.
Yeah. You're not concerned at all, like, about displacing the animal. They already go into, they already go on the highway, they already go on Pond Street, they already get hit enough. Why
houses get built all the time, condos, buildings, and the wildlife go where the wildlife go. And we don't control that. Obviously, anything that's in the wetlands is completely protected by the Conservation Commission and the Wetlands Act of the Commonwealth and here in Massachusetts. So any wetlands cannot be impacted, but if there's, you know, four deer that live there, they're not going to live there anymore.
It's not four deer.
Well, but, I mean, I'm using that as an example.
But have you guys thought about maybe using less of the land to help the people have a buffer?
Well, you remember, only about 19 plus acres can get used. There's no development along here. There's no development along here. I don't think anything north of Hilltop is going to get developed because of the drainage ditch. So most of it's folk. So there would still be about 14 or 15 acres that won't be developed.
Okay.
Any other comments, Mr. Chairman? Ma'am?
Hi, I'm Peg. I live on Oxford Drive. The only way this impacts me directly is I have a child at Tri-County. I do have to say, I have to mention your answer to that comment, I feel could have been done a little more sensitively.
Okay.
To say that animals are going to go wherever they go, it's, you know.
Thank you.
That's all I'm saying.
It's truthful.
So, it's heartless. Truthful, but heartless. So, I can address the noise because I'm on Oxford Drive. When the bridge was built, the 495, the 140, that whole thing, our noise level went up significantly. We can hear the train idle. We can hear the train whistle, which I know that carries through. We can hear 495. We never heard that before that bridge was built. We never heard that before all those trees were taken down. So that I see as a negative, but I don't live over there. I'm just saying this is our experience on Oxford Drive. The other thing was due diligence. In my opinion, I think it would be a good due diligence thing for all of you to just travel that road during peak traffic times for a week, both times, morning and afternoon, evenings, to see what it's like, because it's not easy getting out either entrance of Tri-County. So that's all.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Yes, hi, my name is Bill Purvis. I live on Pond Street. I've been on Pond Street for about 10 years now. I've got a 5 and 7-year-old. And it's already been brought up here many times. Traffic on the road is just horrendous. And as a result, my children are not allowed in the front yard. And that's a shame. It's a damn shame because, I mean, if we continue to just build up on this road without understanding exactly what the impact is going to be for the entire road along this street. I mean, it's just something that needs to be, I think, looked at more closely. I guess so. My real question is, why have RFPs in the past? Why have they failed for this piece of land? And is it because, from what I'm hearing, this old sewer system that's there, some of the wetlands, additional fill that needs to be put in place. Is it due to costs? Is it due to what it would cost for any type of commercial developer to put something in there? And my fear is, if that's the real reason why they failed in the past, where is the balance between how much money a residential area is going to have to, how large of a residential area has to be built in order to bring money back to the developer. So if you're failing on the commercial RFP, and you're telling us that the real money doesn't come from taxes from residential, it comes from the hotels, and it's coming from commercial where we're failing at the RFP, then how large are you going to build this up? I guess that's kind of one of the main themes here that I've heard tonight. So it doesn't make me feel any better when you say back in 07, well, we had this great RFP, we were going to build 10,000 square foot here, we're going to put a hotel here, we're going to put some other commercial piece of property here, and, you know, this is the better thing for you. Where was your concern for us on that road when you were considering this RFP? And now all of a sudden, you're going to be concerned about what's going to go in there when you rezone as residential. And you're telling us you're going to actually care about what we say, how we feel about what goes into that area. And I guess that's my question and my statement. I want to get to the group. Thank you.
You're telling me this piece of property residential. We are not rezoning this piece of property residential. It's an office. What's the name of the zone? It's in Jeff. It's an office zone. All we're trying to do is, because there was interest in this property with a hotel, medical type building, a restaurant, and some residential condos, is to add one aspect to this office district. It's not being zoned residential. There's not going to be 35 houses down there. Okay. There's a very small piece of this land that can even be built on. It's got the sewer beds. I learned how to ride horses on that piece of land. I'm not that old, but I did learn how to ride horses down there. And in Harborwood, when it was all woods. We're just adding a small residential piece to this, to the office district. It's not going to be 100% residential. This year, 5 years from now. Thank you.
So then include that in the rezoning.
Anyone else would like to address the council?
I'll address it again. I think that last comment is just bringing up our concern. Is if you are, if you say that's not the goal, if you write the rezoning for without a limit on the number of residents that can go in there, then you are allowing it future years to be 200 units when this town council may no longer be there. You shake your head, Mr. Valley, but give us the guarantee.
It's not allowed by law.
What's not allowed by law?
Cannot define a zoning thing,
okay,
and then
as
say...
The economic,
So if when this was all woods and they said we're going to build houses, you can't say, well, you can only put seven houses on Crossfield. When it's zoned for something, it's allowed to be built within the zoning criteria. In this case, you need 5 acres of land at a minimum to do this. Where it can get restricted, however, in this case, is in the RFP. Now, you are correct. If someone builds a hotel and they rip it down in 40 years, they could come back and apply to the council. They can potentially put more condos there. I don't think, but we're not going to sell the land with a medical office building and a hotel and X number of condos and then say, well, we're not going to build a hotel. Well, then you're not getting the land. So there's going to be significant investment in the property that, and ultimately I think those properties would end up being potentially individually owned. There might be 3 5-acre parcels.
By law, you cannot restrict. Has this changed since the economic development meeting?
Well, I can't speak for what someone said. All I can tell you is you cannot restrict.
At the meeting on the 17th of December, the economic development meeting, Mr. Padula specifically asked whether he mentioned that he would not be in favor of 200 apartment buildings.
That's correct.
Or units. He specifically asked whether it would be possible or not to rezone. When rezoning, to include that in the rezoning restrictions. Your answer to him, Mr. Nutting, was yes, it is possible to do that.
It's possible not to have condos, apartments, because we own the property.
Today.
today.
What about tomorrow? The unintended consequence.
The zoning will be in place.
That's my concern. My concern is that you guys are all being reasonable, and I'm not...
You know, if they build a hotel and it doesn't work in 20 years, they rip it down. I'm not denying that.
That's the unintended consequence.
But...
And by the same token, they can go through phase one that you approve, to do the RFP, you get it all. 2 years down the line, when you are no longer in control of that land, they could say, well, now we want to build another 50.
Nope. Because they sign a development agreement that goes with the land.
For how long?
Things change.
How long? It depends on your opinion.
Yeah. For purposes of developing it, according to the agreement, it would be in place as long as it took to develop it as the town had awarded it.
So I'll give you an example. We signed an agreement for Walgreens when we sold that land for $2.5 million. Could they come by in 10 years and rip it down and put a CVS up there or something else to zone? They could do that at some point down the road. Because they are now on the road. They have to build the buildings in accordance to what we agreed with.
Right.
That's not in perpetuity.
Right. So then you're saying that when they're done building and 2 years, 5 years down the road, when they have met all the requirements that were included in the RFP and the town council signed off on, after that, can they come back and build more units?
Yes.
And that's what we are, that's what we would like some protection.
Yeah. Anyone else like this? Council?
I just have one question.
Go ahead, sir.
Second time. I'm curious. You guys said that you've submitted RFPs recently, and they've come a one, and what's come back has not been acceptable. Can you just give me an understanding what that
was? Sure, the RFP came back with a hotel, about 140 rooms, a 50,000 square foot medical office building, and 200 apartments. Okay, that didn't meet the zoning. I don't think anybody here wants apartments. The previous RFP in 07 had 24 condos, a restaurant, a hotel, an office. That deal fell apart in the economy and a lot of other reasons. So, the question. Quite frankly, I don't think we know if we submit an RFP that allows for some limited condos, whether we're even going to get one. And maybe we have to do it again, the real discussion, it's great that people come out here, but it's the definition of the RFP and what comes out of that is really going to control what happens here.
I was just curious to know if you're getting feedback from developers that said, well, I'd like to do X, can you rezone?
That was one developer.
Okay. So it's not overwhelming.
Right, and that wasn't, and they wanted apartments, and that's no place for apartments.
All right, thank you. Peter. Appreciate it.
Just quickly, if I could, you can see that the question, I asked that question about what could happen down the road, so you can see that the vetting we're doing is not superficial. We're asking hard questions, so just so you know. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else want any more comments? Sue?
I'm just curious as far as the timeline. Like, when do we find out?
Myself in front. I'm sorry. It's for the record. Everything is recorded.
I'm just curious of the...
Your name?
Colin Goen. I live on Rolling Ridge Road. I'm just curious as the timeline, like when we find out stuff, like the RFP, how quickly that will get done. If we have any, are able to give any feedback into that, and you include us in that, if that's...
Yeah.
So I would say that the zoning is a public hearing, a first reading, and then another meeting before the council can formally adopt it. I would suggest that the Economic Development Committee would then bring this up in February at some time, because by the time this gets done, it's the end of January. That's the time we can send out notice to everybody that we're having an Economic Development Committee meeting, and that's where the whole discussion would take place as to what would be allowed, what wouldn't be allowed, before it gets brought back to the full council at a later meeting, and then ultimately, if they agree, put out on the street. That takes 45 days by the time you advertise something and, allow people to respond. So now it's April, something like that. But the next decision point, really, if the zoning is approved, is the RFP process. Whether that takes one meeting of an Economic Development Committee or two meetings. So it's not 6 months away. It's February, March time frame.
Any other comments? Sir?
Yeah.
Hi, Peter. I'm Steve Quinlan, Little Bond Street. What if we do nothing and not develop the land? What will the impact on Franklin be that way if we just leave it alone, do nothing? That's my question.
We'd sit there for some future consideration, and the town would forego the sale of the property and the ongoing revenue. So that's what would happen.
In terms of percentage-wise in the budget, it's 1%, 2%,
10.1%. So we collect, I'll give you, it's 1% of our tax revenue. Again, I don't know what the formal proposal would be. We collect $60 million, round numbers, in property taxes. If this brought in $600,000, depending on what the final, a hotel could potentially bring in $300,000, office building, $150,000, depending on how big it is. And then and if you had 50 units at $5,000, a condo taxes, that's $250,000, round numbers. So 600,000-700,000,
1%. Sir, go ahead, sir.
My name is Paul Sager. I spoke before. Now all of a sudden, we've grown from being 20 condo units to being maybe 50 condo units to a building that might be 5 stories tall. I mean, all of this is just, in reality, if you're talking about what you had spoke of earlier, 20 units, so you get 20 condos, what's your tax rate on that? A small office building, if you only have 20 acres that's buildable out of the 30, then it would seem, first off, that you'd have to take out all those trees. And secondly, the amount of ultimate revenue that you're going to get on an annual basis is, if you're trying to keep it low, a small development so that there's not huge traffic issues from it, then the amount of revenue you get from it is going to be less. So where do they draw the line? And, we've already signed up to have it be industrial zoned, I believe, or office space zoned. And, without touching the residential part of it at all, it doesn't strike me that from 20 residential units, you're going to lose that much income.
If you put office space there, why the need for office space there when there's Forge Park, which isn't full? There's an office building 2 doors down that also isn't full. There's a lot of office space available, so why the desire need to build when it's just going to sit there and be empty?
Good. We don't know if someone's going to propose an office. Mm-hmm. The last two proposals did include it, but maybe they don't want to put an office.
But
they take the risk.
Yeah.
We still collect the taxes, and if it's empty, that's on the developer, not on us. So if a warehouse in Forge Park is empty, we still collect all the taxes on it.
Okay. So
now, do we like people to have jobs, etc.? But we don't control what the private, what the economy does to private property.
And then a hotel, yes, I can see why it would be desirable. The highway, people are going to see it. But Franklin's not a big destination for people to come on the regular. Holidays, yeah, family. But we already have 3 hotels. I'm sure they do decent. But why a 4th one where there's no promise? That's not going to be affecting you in any way because you're going to still collect. But why put it up for the chance for it to just sit vacant and have a bunch of occupancy? It's not going to have a lot of occupancy.
Well,
so
we don't know if anybody's going to propose a hotel. But they, a lot of different uses are allowed in the zone, correct, right now. a developer might come and say, I want to just put in offices, or I don't want to put any offices. I want to put in two hotels, or I want to put in something different. So all the things that are allowed in the zone, they can propose. If they propose a hotel, I mean, we have three, they're at 80 what percent occupied now?
It's over 80%.
Over 80% occupied. Yeah. So if someone says they can make money and they want to put a hotel up, that's their business.
Why not you guys do something and make something for the community, like a park or like a community center? I know we already have a community center, but just why not build something for the community? Because I'm sure everybody that lives on that street would be 10 times happier and more supportive and probably back you guys for something that would benefit. And I'm sure this is going to benefit somehow. Whatever you guys decide to do is going to benefit the town, but why not benefit the entire, like, the population? Because none of you don't live on the street. One of you has. You did some riding there. But, like, it's just, like, that compared to, you know, building all of this, which I know you guys don't control the building. You control what gets end up put in there. But why not put something that would better suit the community and better it by, you know, like a park with sports and stuff. I'm sure everybody that lives there would be using that every day. That just seems...
Because parks don't produce revenue. And our dilemma, and our dilemma for decades, the day I shut a fire station, the day I close a library, the day your class size goes in
a little...
Well, because what happens is the pressure on me to balance this budget and these people is incredible.
Well, you don't need to put that on
I'm sorry. Well, I'm not trying. I apologize. But while everybody doesn't want any summer in their backyard, everybody wants the cop to show up at their front door. And if we can't afford to pay those, balance this budget, what am I supposed to do? Say the cop can't come, the fire truck can't show up, your kids don't get to keep teaching in the classroom? We are desperate for revenue.
Then you can
and the taxpayers
of
Franklin, no, the taxpayers of Franklin have made it very clear. They do not want to pay any more money. So our only option is to develop every piece of land we can find in order to keep this organization running. Or everybody in this community takes less services.
There's a lot you could do with that land besides building. You could still do.
Okay, well, this is a conversation now. Let's address. You can address three times. Is someone else like to address the council, ma'am?
My name is Gail Irwin. I live on Hilltop Road, and my comments are not addressed to you, Mr. Nutting. I've lived in Franklin 12 years. I will say this is my first town council meeting that I've attended. Shame on me. I should have probably participated in more, but I haven't. But what I find totally apprehensible and appalling tonight is some of the body movements, the rolling of the eyes from our council members. You have been somewhat disengaged, speaking amongst yourselves, shaking heads when people are talking, letting us know that you're frustrated by some of these comments. And as me, as someone who has elected you to represent us, I am disappointed by your physical appearance and some of your expressions. And I just find it very disappointing. This is a constitutional right that we are here to express our opinions, and we shouldn't have to feel that we are being judged by the people that we are trying to represent our comments to. Thank you.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can use your help. How can you help? If you like this, please tell your neighbor. If you don't like this, please let me know. It's through this feedback loop that I can continue to improve to provide good service. Thank you for listening. If you have questions or comments, feel free to reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark in Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.